Our Bible reading this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. That's Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. And if you're following along in the pew Bibles, it's on page 831. And it comes just after John the Baptist was born, and it's entitled Zechariah's Song. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert and until he appeared publicly to Israel.
And this morning we're praying for a miracle 10-minute sermon. Here we go. 10 past. You get the full sermon at the next service. That starts at 11 a.m. Friends, key truth this morning, when God speaks, we should listen. When God speaks, we should listen. And something that we learned from old Zechariah, I've called him. You see, when God brought the message to Zechariah that he would have a son, his wife was older, he didn't believe it. And God says, well, okay, I'm going to give you a sign for reflection. Because you don't believe what I've had to say to you, you will be unable to speak until all of this has been fulfilled. Then you'll know that you trust me and listen to me. And Zechariah learns his lesson, and he becomes a righteous man, even a more righteous man. He learns from his mistakes, and through the pain of discipline, he emerged a much stronger man of God. I want you to know something about his silence and solitude. Can you imagine being able to speak and to hear? It seems like he's also lost his hearing, because they communicate in sign language later. Do you notice that? And you've been able to speak, now you can't communicate. And 9 months of silence, almost to be kicking yourself, thinking, why didn't I just listen to God, right? And John Piper has this lovely piece where he describes what it may have been like. He says, "I love to think of Zechariah in those months, groaning under God's rebuke, yet gradually discovering the reward. At first lacerating himself, why didn't I just believe the word of God? Why did I have to be skeptical? What a fool I was. But then gradually, in the silence of those months, gradually, when he could not converse with his wife or friends, Zechariah began to see what was happening. Began to sink into his head and heart that these were stupendous, unrepeatable, incredibly significant days. God was about to do something. And Piper continues, "I cannot pass over the experience of Zechariah without making an application for our own day. And it is this: if we don't seek silence, we'll probably not feel the stupendous significance of God's work in history and in our lives. If we don't seek our silence, it would be a rare thing to be gripped and moved deeply in a noisy room. There's a close correlation between stillness and a sense of the stupendous. The most astonishing things about reality will probably be missed by those of us who use the radio and television for a constant background drone. Are you like that? It's always noise. Well, you don't stop to hear God's voice through his word. It says, God in effect says, be still, be dumb and deaf, and know that I am God. It says, what would it mean for your life if for 9 months you could not hear or say anything? It said, I've tried to imagine what it would mean for me and my home life. No preaching, no counselling, no singing, but lots more seeing. Lots more looking into the eyes of my wife and my sons. He says, when was the last time you looked steadily into someone's eyes? Lots more reading the great books. Lots more writing journals and poems and letters, thoughts about life. Lots more prayer and meditation on the word of God, all in absolute silence. He says, if God should ever give me such a period, I hope that I would turn it as much for good as much as Zechariah did. Because when Zechariah came out, he came out filled with the Holy Spirit and singing what has become known as the Benedictus, a song filled with insight, the sense of the stupendous significance of what was about to happen with the birth of Jesus. First question, have you ever stopped to listen to God? Are you quiet enough to hear him? And then we come to the birth of John the Baptist. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and they shared her joy. There's great joy. This older woman has now had given birth. And they circumcised him, as was the normal custom of the day. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They then went to name him, and this is where you have a conflict. They were going to name him after his father Zechariah. And normally the child would be named, given a family name, honouring a parent or a grandparent. And you know, I come from a Greek background, and when you meet my cousins, has Nick, 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 and Nick, right? And it's easy. You don't have to remember many names. But here they're going to, the people want to call him Zechariah. And so, no, they were trying to call him Zechariah. He said, no. His name will be John. And the crowd is surprised and shocked, we're told. They're almost arguing with the family. You can't call him John. What do you mean? You know, there's no John in the family. His name's Zechariah. Sounds like a Greek family. No, you can't name him this. You must name him this, right? I said, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. And immediately his mouth was opened. His tongue was loosed. He began to speak, praising God. After 9 months of not speaking, what's the first thing he does? He praises God. That's what he does. 9 months of quietness, reflection in the word of God, hearing God's voice. And you come out when you speak God's praises. Friends, when you spend time in silence with a holy God and a gracious God, a God who sends Christ into the world as our Savior, born as a babe, who went to the cross and raised from the dead, when you come to know him in the quietness and the depth of God, you come out praising him. You come to church, you sing. You don't just sing, you sing, right? Because God is wonderful. Neighbours were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. You know what he would be? He would be the one who would point the way to Jesus, the Saviour of the world. His name is John the Baptist, who would point the way to the Messiah. But this is healthy awe. People take a step back. Wow, what is God doing? Out of the silence comes a word. His name is John. Zechariah speaks again. He's praising God. And everyone's thinking, wow, what is about to take place? Friends, God is always at work. And we need a sense of awe when God is at work. When you see, when I look at the youth ministry that we talked about and see lives change, and there's another young woman, Sarah, going to be baptized tonight at this service, going to give testimony, be baptized. I can see God at work. When I see young children give their life to Jesus, Robin said to me a few weeks ago, a number of primary age children repented and trusted in Jesus, invited Jesus into their lives, changed lives. We've seen people, adults, converted by the gospel. When you see it, you see God's greatness and you praise him. You think, wow, what is God doing? Friends, we have a short-term team in Southeast Asia at the moment. 2 days in, 8 days of their trip had to be cancelled and redirected to another island because Christian missionaries had been persecuted in that island, so they couldn't go there. The next night, they're in a restaurant. Matt, our leader, is outside on the phone. An explosion takes place in the restaurant. Everyone's running out of the restaurant. Matt runs back into the restaurant to see where his 17 members are. By the grace of God, they're all alive, they're all safe, but it's been a massive gas explosion in the kitchen. And there are workers coming out with severe injuries and so on, so there's blood, there's emergency vehicles turning up. Pray for them, right? And God, in his work, was protecting them at that point. A couple of days later, they're on another island. We got another message from Matt. How was it? Well, we'll climb up these big mountains. We'll lead up to these mountains and areas. We went to visit a remote village. While we were there, there's some lightning and storms. And then there was an earthquake. And someone said at their team meeting the next day, I said, how are they going? So, well, someone said, we're watching this beautiful land. I think, what a great God. How powerful is God? And God, just to prove that he is powerful, he just shook the ground under our feet for a moment. I don't know what they're going to tell me next. They took someone to hospital yesterday. We're just on the phone. But God is working to mold them into the image of Jesus, to give them an understanding of what it's like to be a missionary overseas, what it's like to live in other countries which are not Australia. And God's at work in their lives. God's going to be at work, we believe, at our carols next week. But we need men and women who are going to say, I'm going to be there and engage in conversation. I'm going to be there to love the community. I'm going to be there to cook a sausage. I'm going to be there to paint a face. I'm going to be there to clean up. We need God's people working together. When you're silent, you know what God is doing. You make yourself available and say, I want to praise God. I want to be involved in his work. I want to be involved in his ministry to his glory. And then he prays that song of praise that you had read to you about a Saviour who has come to rescue us from our sins. Amen. I lied 14 minutes, okay. But friends, important truths to take with us today. Find some time of silence to listen to God and watch how God is at work and join him in that work.